Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
RD football team got started back in practice yesterday. They also got some unfortunate news. Both Carius Kern and Jamarian Parker decommitted. What can you tell us with the latest with one in-state kid and a running back from St. Louis?
Yeah, Kern, that was somewhat of a surprise. He obviously committed back in February. And said all the right things at that time, and in my opinion, I think he's the best offensive line prospect to come out of Arkansas since Sean Andrews. That was a big blow. I think LSU's a school to look at right now. All you can do is just keep recruiting him, The good thing is he can't sign until December, so you absolutely have to try to get him back on board. Usually when a kid decommits, they don't come back, but Braylon Russell did, so he's a guy that kind of gives you hope. I think the chances are much better, obviously, when it's an in-state guy versus an out-of-state guy. But that was a big blow. As far as Parker, that was not a surprise at all. I expected that at some point when Jimmy Smith left the staff, that he had been visiting other schools prior to that. I think some of that had to do with the 4-8 season last year, but just to cover his bases. But when Jimmy left and went to TCU, I was expecting that to happen at any time, and I'm surprised it took as long as it did. But that right there was no surprise whatsoever. Yeah. Now Kern, that's a big blow.
And particularly with Kern, I wanted to ask you, but it applies to both players. The changes in position coach. How big a factor do you think it was with these decisions, particularly with Kern? With Eric Mateos coming in, you build relationships with coaches. It's a big piece of your decision. How do you think those position coaching changes affected these decisions?
Well, it did without a doubt for us. Parker, Kern, I don't think it really had much to do having a different offensive line coach as far as Mateos. And I think Mateos is, and he told me Mateos was one of the reasons why he committed. I mean, he can play either side of the ball. Arkansas was recruiting him for, defense and offense, and just going to figure it out when he gets to campus. But Mateos, I really like what he has done since he's been on staff. He's already lined up about 6-7 guys. This is off the top of my head. I was just looking at the list just the other day for his official visits this summer, and he's got about 6 or 7 guys coming in for officials during the summer, and probably more than that. And he's had several guys come in for unofficial visits. I think he's, I'll be honest with you, I think he's working his butt off, and I think he's going to continue to recruit at a high level, and I think you're going to like the end result. But I don't think it had so much to do with Kern, but again, they're going to stay on him, I guarantee you. Yeah.
So tell me if I'm right or wrong, but you're going to get Darren McFadden once in a generation. But this state's going to give you, a handful of elite linemen every 5 years. You're going to have a chance to have a Kern-like player. Now, he may be better than that as far as generational type linemen. But if you look at position groups in our state, wouldn't you say D linemen and offensive linemen are where you're most likely to get the SEC level, highly coveted type player in our state versus the skill positions everyone focuses on? That's why this may hurt. Maybe it has a little more sting to it.
Well, I was kind of looking at the list of guys that as far as in-state that committed to Arkansas since Sean Andrews in 2001, and really the list is not that impressive. You had basically two guys that played some in the NFL, Nate Gardner and Jonathan Luiz. And then you had some others that were highly recruited, but never really went beyond college since 2001. And it was maybe about five or six guys that were, that were, had really good careers at Arkansas. And so it's not offensive line is not a position that is very strong for in-state kids to come up and be big contributors at Arkansas. It's been mostly out-of-state offensive linemen that have come in and been big contributors. But defensive line may be a little bit better.
I was thinking that his name slips me, the kid from Hope, Texarkana Hope, McTell McGee. I think about Josh Frazier. I think about some of these.
Frazier, Bijan Jackson. But
I'm just saying body type, but some of the body types in our state and you're trying to recruit SEC level talent. I just think that's the place you're going to most likely find an elite level player in our state is on one side of the line or the other. We're just not going to have that many elite running backs or quarterbacks. Now there's the kid down at Greenwood, but we'll see what happens there in a few years.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with offensive line and defensive line, you usually have four guys on the defensive line and you got five on the offensive line. So you're going to have the better opportunity to have guys that are highly, highly recruited versus, a skilled position. You just have basically one running back on your team. And then same for other skill positions, pretty much, other than receiver, maybe. But I was just looking at the line and line on both sides. Really, you think what other than McTelvin Aguim, who in state has went on and been a big contributor in the NFL. They're few and far between.
Yeah. Richard Davenport with us here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Richard, we've talked football for the first 6 or 7 minutes with you. Basketball-wise, there's a picture that's made waves of Eric Musselman with Josh Cohen, who you reported took his official visit to Arkansas yesterday, the UMass transfer. What other things have you heard about guys potentially coming to campus? And maybe have you got any feedback from Josh's official yesterday?
Everything I gather from about his Josh's official, it's going really well. He got there yesterday morning, and he'll leave later tonight. And then evidently he'll be going to Xavier and Notre Dame for official visits, and I think maybe making an unofficial visit to Penn State and then make a decision. But obviously things can be pretty fluid with him. But I gather that it's gone extremely well. We'll know more, obviously, after the visit. Hope to be able to talk to him. But the other day before his official visit, they didn't have anything else lined up, but they definitely had some stuff in the works. There's some guys that at least one guy that has not entered the portal yet that I expect to enter the portal, and I think there's going to be some mutual interest there. Obviously, can't say the name until the guy enters the portal for his sake. But I just think that I think you're going to start seeing maybe some more this weekend too.
Richard, we've speculated that Musselman might have interest in other jobs. Does it make it more difficult to recruit kids to campus when that is maybe not public knowledge, but a public thought that a coach might be looking elsewhere to coach elsewhere?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that can definitely impact your situation when you're recruiting other guys. But at the same time, that you know, Coach Musselman and the staff, they realize what's out there, and I guarantee you they're going to have a good answer for the kids that are, you know, may have some questions for them about that. So it's not ideal, but you know, it's not unusual for it to happen. And you if you explain and you have a good answer for the kids and you kind of can kind of soothe things over, it's maybe not as a big of a deal. But I do think that's some of the one of the questions that guys will ask, you know, obviously when stuff like that's out there.
And I just want to, you know, because I think this is more of a media narrative and media driven than maybe reality, linking his name to jobs. But would it help Mus if he publicly or on social media addressed it in Arkansas? I think the picture yesterday maybe quietened or calmed down some fans a little bit, but or is that just something he needs to deal with one-on-one with the recruits as he has them in and talks to guys out of the portal? What would be your approach?
It is out there a little bit, but I don't think it's sometimes if you address something that you make it a bigger situation. Mm-hmm. And I just tend to think that you just keep going along, and you know, each coach's going to handle it different. And at least right now, Coach Musselman has decided to, you know, with this approach, and not address it. And all you can do is you know, just. And I tend to agree with you. I think it's more media driven, but at the same time, I mean, when you see stuff and you hear stuff, I mean, obviously it's gonna trickle out, and people are gonna speculate, and you better be prepared to have an answer for it.
See, we think here in Arkansas this is a national story. It is not. It is an Arkansas story. It is only a story and only a conversation that's being had by Arkansas fans, and I don't think it's even a majority of this fan base. So. So when you're trying to recruit players from all across the country or all across the portal, I don't think it's nearly as big a deal as some in our state think it is.
No, I think the thing is that if you see a coach's name on social media just once or twice, certain parts of the fan base of any fan base is going to start speculating. And start asking questions, and social media obviously is going to be a big part of you know, the speculation, and that's where it usually all begins.
Richard, we'll leave it there this morning, man. We appreciate you joining us as always. Arkansas hopefully gets the recommitment from Carius Kern in the future weeks and months, because I know that'd be a big loss for Sam Pittman and Eric Mateos. But until then, we'll talk next week.
All right, guys, and then, yeah, it was Ben Cowens and Kyle Cagney and Holtz on the cover. I remember that, and I got that. But yeah, they were number one as far as Sports Illustrated, but I don't think they were ever number one AP or UPI back then.
Yep, no, you're 100% right. I was looking it up when you were talking this morning. RD, appreciate that too, and we'll do it again in a week from now.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
That's the he kind of put the key there. So Sports Illustrated, like he just said, had him at number one. But I think Christian brought it up earlier. 64 is the last time you've been the – and it was the – now help me on this. You were the UPI number one, but you weren't the AP number one because they
in
did
64,
the –
yes.
Yeah.
Because
they,
one was done before the bowls, one was done after the bowls.
And then they flipped it the following year.
Bama lost in the bowl game. Arkansas beat Nebraska in the Cotton Bowl.
Which they claim – if you go to Alabama, if you go to Bryant-Denny Stadium, there is a 1964 national champion insignia up there.
But that's not unique. I mean, there's other years and other championships that are disputed.
Oh yeah, Ole Miss, Tommy, go to Oxford, go to the Grove. They claim SEC championships, and I'm like, they've never won an SEC championship. Yeah. Danny's not the only one with the take on the Eric Musselman situation, and Jimbo kind of pushes back on what you just said. You're telling me, this is from Jimbo on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, you're telling me that Muss is too busy recruiting, but he can take pictures of social media of what clothes he's wearing and what shoes he's wearing before the game? He's too busy in the midst of recruiting to just put out a simple statement or a simple video or a simple, really again, anything, because it wasn't Arkansas that put out that picture of Muss recruiting, which I don't know the legality of the NCAA rules there. Maybe they can't, but it was thrown around recruiting circles.
And some of those things have changed about, you know, pictures taken, uniforms that can be worn on visits, all these things that, you know, just a few seasons ago were not allowed. But, you know, I go back to what I was talking to about Richard there. We think that the whole country is wondering what Eric Musselman is going to do next. They are not. This is a story in our part of the world, our corner of the world, and we think everybody from Dallas to New York is trying to figure out the next move of Eric Musselman. They're not. And, you know, does he really need to address this? You know, I think a picture with a recruit in your facility, what was it, the Bobby Portis, not that head, but graphic or whatever you want to call it, was behind him.
That's
clearly.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
Head.
I mean, that's what it is. It's a big, huge picture of Bobby Portis that's in vinyl that's up on the wall. And, you know, that clearly tells me where he's at and what he's doing. Do I need a statement from then on? I mean, we think every open job Eric Musselman's a candidate for. Dude went 2 games below 500 this year. You think ADs are lining up to hire a coach that missed the tournament? You don't think that's a hard sell to a fan base for a premier job? I mean, that's not a opinion, that's a fact.
So the four jobs that we've speculated upon, you'd probably say
it's the key word in all of this.
Probably say Louisville is a premier job in college basketball.
I'd agree.
SMU's not, nope. USC's not. Nope. Is there one more that I'm not thinking about that I've touched on?
I mean, it's not Duke, North Carolina, Kansas.
Well, I'm just thinking what he's been rumored to be a part of. Alan brings up again Nick Saban saying in 2006, I don't know how else to say it. I've said it over and over. I'm not going to be the Alabama head coach. 2 weeks later, he was announced as the Alabama head coach. A strong denial means less than we might think.
This doesn't rise to that.
I
love Eric Musselman, but he's not Nick Saban then nor now, or, you know.
Here's what I would say to
Nick
your...
Nick Saban had a national championship on his resume at that point.
Yeah, here's what I would say to what you just said about this not being a national story. It is a story in Dallas, Texas, and at least it was when he was mentioned. It was a story in Louisville, Kentucky, and across Kentucky, and it potentially could be a story in Los Angeles, even though it would be like the 15th one in the Los Angeles Times about who their basketball coach is going to be. Well, it's not an overarching national, like cover-to-cover sports center. That's true. But I do think there are people wondering, hey, will Eric Musselman be the next basketball coach of one of those institutions? Fan pockets and lots of fans within those universities have questions who's going to be not, and they have thought about Eric Musselman and asked the same thing we have.
But this is driven by conversations like this, by media that's trying to fill their content in our state in particular. Just because your name's on a list that someone wrote a column or posted a tweet that, hey, here's some names to maybe consider. That's one person's opinion. People run with it. All of a sudden he's a candidate. Does there seem to be like any shred of traction or evidence that Louisville and Coach Musk were close? No. We had someone on earlier this week said there's nothing to the SMU story. Best I can tell, with those two particular jobs, and we're not far enough down the track with USC, there seems to be nothing going on with him and another job that we can see, that we can tell. There's nothing on this deal. Now, USC, maybe it's a different deal. Is that a attractive place that he wants to go? I mean, I know it's California, but as you said, it's not as good a basketball job as the one he has now.
No.
It is closer to what we think is his home base. He's not actually from California. People think he is, but his mom lives there, and he's got a lot of West Coast ties. But, you know, is this a job that he would want? I mean, you got to think about it. We mentioned this earlier. USC's going into the Big Ten. That creates a ton of challenges from a portal, from a recruiting standpoint, travel, logistics. You talk about wear and tear on your program and your team and your players. You know, I don't know that I want to be the one to take that on head first. It's clear, and you already stated, I think it's rhetorical to say that Arkansas is a better basketball job than USC. We all know that.
Wear and tear is something that comes to mind with this fan base and the ups and the downs, and I'm just as culpable and a part of it as anyone else, because you mentioned my emotions do range up and down when it comes to football, basketball, and baseball. But from a coaching vantage point, for, and I don't think it's as much to Dave Van Horn, because we talked about the consistency earlier, but for Eric Musselman and maybe what he's dealt with the last year and a half with the ups and downs of this basketball program, I wonder if that's worn on him a little bit. And I would think it's not just an Arkansas thing. I would think it's other places too, but maybe I just notice it more because we're here in Fayetteville.
I think Mus doesn't enjoy having his program and what he's doing be one of the central focuses in our state. Of course he does. He loves that kind of thing. It's good for him and good for the program. How high up the ladder do you think the USC basketball program is in L.A.?
I thought you said...
Hell, USC football can't even get headlines out there sometimes. You think the basketball program's anywhere near the spotlight?
Maybe 15th might be too generous. Maybe like 20th.
Yeah.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our 6 locations in Northwest Arkansas.
The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Coach, I appreciate you making some time for us this morning. I would guess you've had quite a media run these last few days following y'all's win just the other night. For those who don't know, and I would say a good chunk of our audience outside of Hot Springs in Central Arkansas might be a little unaware of what you guys just accomplished. Just kind of tell us about your program and what you were able to do all this season.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on this morning. And, yeah, we're located in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and National Park College, and we're a junior college, Division II, and started up about 6 years ago. Now to this day, you know, we started with 30 student-athletes on campus, and now we're around 185, and I think we're the largest Arkansas junior college athletic program in the state. And so, you know, national tournament run, it was unreal. It was a long 7 days, but obviously it ended really well for us. And so just happy we could bring it back to Hot Springs. So.
Coach, it wasn't like your team got hot at the end. You'd been good all year. Your record was, what, 31-1, I think, when the season was over? Tell us about the players on your team that, you know, that had that kind of run to produce over 30 wins and just one loss on the season. Tell us about your players.
Yeah, I mean, we had 3 big-time returners coming back from last year's team, Patrick Punch, Nikavion White, and Bryant Hill. All of those guys averaged over 15 for us last year and returning as sophomores for us in this run, and obviously helped a ton. And then we had to add some pieces over the summer. you know, to help mesh them chemistry-wise. And we added 6'11 Taylor Harrell from Houston. We added Kieran Collins. That was a transfer from Fort Scott. And Sadiq Canty came in from Dallas, Texas, and Anthony Swift. And really, we rode those seven guys for a long time. I don't play a ton of guys, but, you know, going into that, you know, they just meshed early. And I think having those returners and that chemistry early, knowing what we wanted to do, what the plan was, helped with our success early. And so just kind of got on a run, and those guys won 27 in a row, and that's tough to do. And unfortunately, we got beat in the regional final by a really good South Arc team, and but probably the best thing for us, fueled us going forward into the national tournament, and I think that's why they were so focused going into it. So,
Coach, paint the picture for our audience, because they think college basketball, they think, you know, like big time ball, like the Razorbacks flying around on private charters, and you know, every resource you need is available to you, from uniforms to team meals to all of that. Small college basketball is sometimes not even to the level of funding and resources high school programs are at. And kind of paint the picture what it's like in the life, even with a national championship type program, that, you know, the day-to-day challenges of small college basketball in Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people at National Park do a great job of helping us out, obviously. But I can tell you this, over the summer, me and my assistant, Trey Kenderson, and his dad, I mean, we're building the lockers for the locker room, you know, by hand. And so, and that's just going to Lowe's and getting all the supplies and building those lockers for those guys, just because we think they deserve it, you know. And so that's, you know, it's like you said, we're not getting on planes and driving and flying private, but it's, it makes for, you know, for those guys to get just a lot closer as a team, I feel like, you know. I mean, we bust, I think the first three weekends we were 8+ on the road on a bus, playing back-to-back nights in Des Moines, Iowa, Kansas City. And so I think it helps the guys, you know, get them a little closer. And, you know, congrats to them. So
we're talking again with Dylan Hargrove, who's head men's basketball coach at National Park College. And Tommy kind of brought that. I remember Gus Malzahn used to have to mow the grass at Hughes High School for the football team. So that kind of that was kind of what I was thinking out. Now, you also don't you handle intramurals on campus too, Coach? So you're not only having to make lockers, coach a team, but you got to handle all that in Hot Springs too.
Yeah. I'm the intramural director, actually. So I get to do that. You know, a lot of people just wear a ton of hats, you know, when it comes to small colleges. I'm their advisor. I put them in the classes. We do the study halls. We do just about everything you can think of that deals with a kid going to college.
Give us your back. Go ahead.
But no, that's all I was going to say. So
give us your background a little bit, because I've seen Perryville, I've seen Flippin, you're a graduate of A-Tech. Kind of what is your background leading up to this job? I know you started as an assistant there and you took over the head coaching role back in 2020.
Yeah. Nope, graduated from Flippin High School. My dad is a high school basketball coach, has been for 30+ years. And so we've moved around the state, but was born and raised here in Arkansas. And just kind of been spot to spot, but lived in Flippin for about eight to nine years. And so we call that home. And my dad also coached at Perryville, so that's probably where that came from. And I got the job in 2020, the head coaching job. I've been here for 6 years. I started off when the program started as the assistant for the first 2 years. And my second year, actually, I was the head baseball coach. So started that program up as well. And after that first year of baseball, we went I received the head coaching job for the basketball team. That's a little about what timeline I got.
I think a lot of people don't understand. We had the old AIC years ago, and a lot of those schools have become part of the Great American Conference in our state. But, you know, junior college basketball is something that's really grown over the last 4 or 5 years in our state. You got Rich Mountain and Mena. You got Cossetot south of there. You got North Ark and Harrison. You mentioned Southern Arkansas down that way. I mean, and I'm not getting to all of them. There has become a pretty good amount of schools that have introduced basketball as part of their as part of their small colleges in our state, and have created y'all a nice league to play with or to play amongst in the borders of our own state.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when we started basketball here, I mean, for the longest time, it was North Arkansas College and ASU Mid-South. And now going into next year, I believe we're going to have 10 teams in the league. Phillips County and West Helena is starting up. Sea Arc and Pine Bluff is starting up. And then obviously you got Castaic, Rich Mountain, SAU Tech, South Arc and El Dorado. And all those teams, I mean, it's becoming a really good league, and I'm happy to see it growing. But it happened real fast, you know, over the last 5 years. And I'd encourage people to come out and watch these games. You know, there's some good players on the floor. It's good basketball to watch.
Coach, before we let you go, what's it like to play a game in the Kettle? I know that's the nickname for y'all's home arena. What's that atmosphere like?
Hey, it's awesome. You know, I think we've got the best fans in the country. When it comes down to our level, you know, it doesn't sit a ton. You know, we've got about 400, 500 occupancy, but I mean, it is full every night. It is standing room only, and they love their basketball here at Hot Springs. And it's not even, they don't even have people playing. You know, it's just, they want to come watch good basketball. That's exciting. And fortunate we had a good group this year that could help, you know, that was easy to watch. And so, but yeah, I mean, we take it as an advantage for sure. I mean, it gets pretty loud in the Kettle. So,
Coach, we appreciate your time again. Dylan Hargrove, who's the head coach of National Park College, the Nighthawks, coming off a national champ winning season at the JUCO D2 level. Coach, again, congratulations, and we appreciate you making some time for us this morning.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, pretty cool national championship at, I think it's pretty neat to celebrate any of those with an in-state school. I think everyone in our state ought to take a little bit of pride in that. So good to see a program that's, you know, what, 6 years old.
Yeah, think about that. 2017, yeah, they started this sucker. He's a assistant starting in 2019. I think it's 2018 or 2019. Takes over the head coaching job, I think, in 2020. And then a national champion 4 or 5 years later. Yeah. It's pretty that's pretty cool. Quick expedited process, and he's an Arkansas guy. Flipping Perryville, graduate of ATEC, so it's cool to see him stay home as well. Sterling, you've got some thoughts on Eric Musselman this morning via the McCarty Daniel Hotline. What are they, my friend?
You know, y'all been right, both of you, at the same time about everything, and you impressed me, Ty, with your knowledge of the preseason number one in Sports Illustrated.
Thanks, buddy.
Back after the 77 season, you know that championship. You know, we won the Grantland Rice national championship. We didn't even win the UPI either year, AP or UPI championship in those seasons. I get it. That's where that Arkansas luck comes in when they change the rules and you're on the bad end of it on the other side. Each time of the rule, you're on the wrong side of the rule. That's amazing. But on Musk, you know, the speculation came from not just in the offseason. It came in the regular season that, you know, word was getting out that he was sitting fillers out. And we all know how he loves the West Coast, and that's where his mom is. And, you know, he's not a spring chicken. And, you know, you might want to spend get closer to your mom towards the end. And, mm-hmm. You know, and Arkansas is a beautiful place, but it's not his home. And so regardless of how good USC job is, if you want to go home, you want to go home. And, you know, I don't think he's hurting for any money. I mean, everybody likes to make more of it, but, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't think that would be the deciding factor on any of his decisions. You know, if he stays, I'm glad he's here. But if he leaves, I'll say thank you for his service, and you go find some other coach. I mean, I'm not all into this. I'm not going to be brokenhearted over it. I mean, he's not I mean, he ain't going to have that Eddie Sutton feel to me. Maybe because I'm an old man now, but it ain't going to hurt like Eddie. It ain't going to hurt like Nolan. It's just, he's just a good basketball coach, and you just have to find another one.
You more callous in your old age, Sterling?
I don't want to sound like that, but I guess maybe so. But and one last thing, and if y'all talked about this before, I apologize. Because I wasn't able to listen much yesterday. I was taking the kiddos to the orthodontist. That don't knock a hole in your pocket. You got twins getting braces at the same time. I'll tell you
bless
what.
Bless your heart.
But in a way, that's why I got to do my thing. That's why I got to talk to Ruskin. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, guys, Ohtani, this thing with Ohtani, he may be telling me the absolute truth, but I don't see how. I don't see how. First off, if he was paying off a debt like this on a legal book, it would be more believable. And I say that because you get your money up front when you do it legally. The whole reason to go to a legal bookmaker is because he gets you a credit line. And no bookmaker, big time, is going to give a credit line like that unless they know somebody can pay it. And apparently the interpreter does not have those kind of funds. And he would never get that credit line without some knowledge or some way of being it. And the plan was to steal it from Ohtani. You know how hard it is to get your own money out of the bank sometimes? When you're trying to get it yourself? There's too many holes in it for me. And if y'all talked about it already, y'all don't have to rehash it. I don't want to bore your other listeners. But if you haven't, click on that for me a little bit. And y'all guys have a great day.
All right, I'll try and knock that out in about a minute or two. So you addressed a bunch of things there. And so I think I'm correct on this. Muss's mom is in San Diego. Because I remember it was a big deal for him that she could go to San Francisco. I think she went to Waco last year too in Dallas because his sister lives down there, so that was easier. But she can't. It's hard for her to travel. I think he's touched on that openly. I don't know where Danielle's family is at. I remember at one point she talked about her dad lived in Magnolia, Arkansas. I don't know where they're at now.
Atlanta based
is okay. Atlanta, but yeah, I think her sister's in Atlanta, so I think that's right. I think that the family always has something to do. For some, it means more than others. I don't know, again, what he's thinking, if these jobs are just speculatory or they're speculating on this, or if there's actually some truth to it. But to bring it back home about Arkansas, and you mentioned Eddie Sutton, you know, Nolan Richardson. Guys, I am also very thankful for Eric Musselman. I'm thankful for the first time in 24, I think it was, years that you made a Sweet 16. I'm thankful that this basketball program was revitalized. He showed that you can win here like Eddie did, like Nolan did. And that this job will draw in the eyes and the looks of other prominent college basketball coaches if it comes open, I think. That is my perspective. And on the Ohtani stuff, I think the number one question you have to ask on this is, how did that guy get access to his accounts? How did the translator? I work with you. I've worked with you for nearly 6 years. Mm-hmm. I don't have access to your bank accounts. Mm-hmm. How did this guy...
I can give you some deposit slips if you want them.
I mean, I guess I can get charged with fraud, espionage, and whatever
else. Not for depositing.
Did he get access to Shohei Ohtani's accounts? That is the number one question.
Okay, let me answer that real simple. He earned or gained trust he had not earned. And when you're... can you imagine being in a foreign land and not knowing the language and having to trust one person to communicate with you on everything? I imagine Shohei had a lot of trust in this person, and maybe he failed him in that regard. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
It's a What's Your Beef Wednesday. We will get to some of our beefs. We've had some beefs already this morning, but for now, we get into the Hog Update, where Arkansas hit four home runs last night, including a Vahevo Aloy Grand Slam that you've heard at the top of our open. Dave Van Horn really impressed with his team and how they play Little Rock despite LSU on the horizon.
We talked about how it was going to be really cold, talked about how it was the game before we play another SEC series and a big series, and I thought they came out and did a really nice job for us.
11-0, short and sweet, run rule, move on to the big series this weekend against the Tigers. I mean, not always easy to do. I mean, you come off an emotional road weekend against Auburn where you take 2 or 3. You've got your rival coming into town, yet you took care of business on Tuesday night, which does not always happen.
You know, and it's not an easy day weather-wise, a little cooler. Heard Phil talking on the broadcast about Coach having kind of those space heaters brought out so he could stay a little warm in the coach's well in that part of the dugout. And the wind was blowing yesterday, so I'm sure they're glad they moved it up to a 3 o'clock start and got that out of the way. And I'm sure a 7-inning game didn't hurt anyone's feelings either, with kind of a little small snap of winter yesterday.
So it got a little colder. They moved the game time up. Softball didn't even play. Yeah, I was going to say that ended up getting canceled last night.
Because of cold weather.
Because of cold weather.
After moving up the game time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it was a little, you know, winter's dying slowly, but it was still around a little bit yesterday.
I don't know how cold it was during spring practice. I don't know if the fellas were indoors or outdoors, but they did resume yesterday, and we got a chance to hear from Cam Ball, who's been on campus for a number of years. Now I was messing this case. Is Nico Davier or Nico Davalier? I've heard it pronounced 50 different ways. Yeah. And you reffed him in high school.
But Davier is how I have heard it.
Okay, pronounced. Then I'm going to go with Davier. And then also Jaquinton Jackson, the kid from Utah, who I'm excited to see. Here was Jackson when asked about just him dealing with injuries last year. Still had 700 plus yards for the Utes.
People talk about it from the outside looking in. Like, they don't really know what I had to go through last season for me to get those 700 yards for a touchdown. Like, it was a struggle every week battling with this injury, because it went from my ankle to my foot. Like, it was bad, but everything happened for a reason.
Hopefully he's healthy this year. I realize it's a lot easier to get 700 plus yards in the Pac-12 than it is the SEC, but this is one of the newcomers that I want to see what he can do starting game one against UAPB in Little Rock on August the 31st.
Yeah, and one thing to pay attention to, and you mentioned Davier's, how does that defensive line, how deep are they with SEC-level talent? That was one thing in the last couple of years. They probably haven't had enough depth on the defensive line. That's to me, the number one thing you need to see out of spring. I know we can have quarterback conversations all day long. Defensive line and how well they're performing, and Clay's going to be coming up in the next hour with us. I would imagine he would echo that thought, too, because that was where they were not deep enough last year.
I thought it was the best year they've had under Pittman at they the D-line.
Well, I mean, that was one area. But look at what you got coming back. They've got to develop some depth there.
What they lost, not just guys that entered the transfer portal, but also graduation, also just other situations. Do you hope that is an error? But Deke Adams I would argue that of any position coach, he had his room the best of anyone last year. The defensive line, I thought, was a strength relative to what it's been. You got Landon Jackson back, which is good. Cam Ball, again, excited to have his running mate alongside him this season.
Landon is he's one of those guys that, you know, when he walks in the room, you automatically just go, wow. And then when you cut on the film, he's all over the place in a good way. So it feels very good to have Landon back and alongside me, because, you know, I play on the side of Landon. So our chemistry and our bond is tight on the field. So it's very good to have Landon back.
We both agree to this. This is maybe the biggest offseason move, which is just getting your standout defensive end back, and you're hoping he can take a bigger jump. He had the game of his life against Alabama and Tuscaloosa, had like 3.5 sacks. Milroe, every time he turned around or every time he snapped the football, it looked like Landon was in the backfield. Yeah. True freshman, I think it was Caden Proctor, who's actually a left tackle, but you hope you can see more of those instances throughout the years. Landon, I think, is in his final year. Now he redshirted at LSU, so he's got one more year, but he'll go to the NFL.
Yeah, he's your best draft prospect on the team. No question. Last year, and probably the biggest fight you probably had to put up from an NIL perspective to keep the suitors away. Mm-hmm.
That is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, so we got a lot to get to with our buddy Clay Henry, who's going to join us in hour number three. I want to ask him about this USC thing, if there's anything to that, if he thinks how he makes G-Nan mad, because I would guess there's plenty of things that he does to make him mad. Josh texted in, Tommy on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. We asked the question earlier, what do you do to make your wife mad? Josh says, all I have to do is say hurry up, and she blows a fuse when I do that. JV and Rogers says when he comes home from the golf course and he's had too much to drink.
Well,
a lot of our arguments center around my dog. I'm sure it's the same way when you have kids. Like, if you disagree with something you're doing with your kids, she'll let you know if she disagrees.
Let's see. Cody and Lavaca says his wife gets mad when he says he's playing 18. He plays 36 instead.
Well, you got to let him know golf takes 12 hours.
Is that what you tell
him? Golf takes 12 hours.
Is that what you tell him?
Yeah, absolutely. I leave at 7 a.m. Don't expect to see me till 7 p.m.
Do you really tell her that it takes 12 hours?
Yeah. Golf's 12 hours, man.
That's bold on your part. JT and Hot Springs' wife's biggest beef is, what are we doing for dinner? That can rage her. Is that a problem for you?
Oh, that will forever be a problem.
Even though it's
I don't care. What do you want? I don't know. What do you, you know, you go back and forth. Doesn't matter to me, you know. Then you make a decision. I don't want that. So. Anything sounds good. Yeah, I mean, that's always the nightly battle. What's for dinner?
Yeah, that's being Clarksville, breathing for him, like you mentioned earlier, sometimes irritates his wife.
I hope you're taking notes on all this.
So. Oh, I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best, but it seems like it's generated a lot of feedback from our listeners on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, and it seems to be their wives or
all
girlfriends.
All us married guys, we feel the pain, so...
Mr. Pibb gets in trouble for not reading messages
that she doesn't
that
even
she
send.
Forgot. And you know what? You finished it. That she forgot to send. So I've had a buddy that got in trouble for a dream that his girlfriend had about him. Uh-huh. A dream, yeah.
That she had.
That she had about him, and she woke up.
He was
up,
doing something wrong.
Yeah, in the dream, she woke up, called him at 5 a.m. in the morning, and started screaming at him.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason other than in the dream... He apparently messed up. But Mr. Pibb's like you, a message that he forgot to receive in this case. He forgot to receive it. No, she forgot to send it, Big C.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you still want to get married, Ty?
Someday.
You learning, you learning
hear,
anything here?
I only hear the negatives on this show about marriage. It's never the positives.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Clay, welcome in to the program. Again, plenty to discuss. I do want to address something as we get going, because Tom and Rudy is calling me out for something I did not say apparently last week. And I just want to make sure, Big C, you were with me all last week. Did I at any point say that Eric Musselman is leaving Arkansas basketball definitively?
No.
Okay, I have speculated like a lot of other people have. I just want to make sure that that is out there. You and everyone else that were listening apparently heard that, but Tom and Rudy did not. So I just want to get that on the record as we start.
Was it reckless speculation, though?
Now, that is up for discussion. You can debate that if you want to, but at no point last week did I say Eric Musselman's gone. I talked about maybe some of his players are leaving because they know that he could be out the door. I've mentioned the SMU job, the Louisville job, and now potentially the USC job. You could say it's rampant. You could say it's just speculation. Well, but I did not ever utter the words, Muss is gone. I don't want him to leave. I would like him to continue to be Arkansas's basketball head coach. But the key in all this is we should not have to convince this guy if it's in that terms to be the Arkansas head basketball coach.
I'm not sure you have to. It's conversations that get that bear out these kind of sentiments and this speculation based on no evidence. Based on, well, just because his name's linked to a job or someone brings it up in a conversation, USC's the latest one. Nothing of concrete or substance happened with Louisville. Nothing of concrete or substance happened with SMU. And now we're moving on because there's an opening at USC. You know, you've got his name linked to that.
Well, here's what I would say. When you say what does that mean when you say concrete or substance? Are you talking about the official release? Are you talking about there haven't even been preliminary talks?
How do you know there were preliminary talks?
Well, I'm asking you. You said concrete or substance. How do you know
there seems to be nothing of credible reporting that I would say that said he was ever close to being the Louisville head coach? Is that a fair statement, Clay?
Well, I think what you have to understand is that there are reputable news outlets in our state, and none of them have said a word.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you're kind of out there, Ty, if you're, you know, but I get it. You know, you want to speculate. This happens, if this happens, well, then that could happen. But that's not really reporting hard news. And, you know, I would have thought that you would have learned before now that, the speculation will get you in trouble. And people will hear things and twist them slightly. And one guy tells another guy, hey, well, Ty said this. Well,
like
they don't really know, you know, that you have no sources, right, Ty?
Mike in Springdale on the McLarty Daniel hotline says, tell Ty to stay in his lane. So
what is my lane?
I think speculation is your lane, apparently.
I think his lane is the gravel road that runs like out past Greenwood, and it keeps on going into Neverland.
The train station,
yeah.
Clay.
Yeah.
Well,
your lane is the Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your lane is the shoulder.
But you know what? It makes common sense to think that he would be interested in the Southern Cal job because he does love that part of our country best of all. I mean, that's his go-to place. But that doesn't mean it takes two to tango.
Here's what I would say to that, because you guys are kind of quote-unquote pulling the veteran card on me, which is fine. I'm used to it at this point.
Well, as we should.
What is the number one topic in our state sports right now? It's not the number one baseball team. It's not the football team that just restarted spring practice. It's what the heck is your head coach going to do or stare at that? It is the number one. It's on every group message. It's in every social media. It's on every message board. So this idea is, should I have avoided it the past week and a half?
Well, no, you should say exactly what you just said. Well, that's the number one topic, but so far there's no reason for it to be the number one topic. That's reporting. You know, you don't report the rumors, you check them out. And then you report what is really true. So it is unconscionable to just report the rumors. And the people that do that will not be in our business law.
You have anything to add to that?
I don't know how I can improve on that.
So when Jeff Borzillo or Pete Thamel or other credible college basketball analysts and writers have mentioned Eric Musselman, that's not credible enough to mention.
Okay, no, that's their opinion. Then you have to go figure out are they right, or can you report to your listeners that they're just throwing names out there, which is what happens a lot of the time.
Clay, I don't exactly have Muss on speed dial or his agent.
You need to be able to tell people that. Listen, I don't know this to be true. I would check it the best I could. I would check it. You know, and the other gauge that you can use is, what's Tom Murphy writing? He's not writing a word about it. Do you think that he's not trying to find it out?
No, I think I think that's true. I think he's trying to figure it out. But like you just...
I think he knows that there's nothing to it yet.
I hope that's the case.
Or he would write it.
Clay, to your point, there's been stories that you've missed on before, that, and you're as credible a journalist as there is in this state, but there's been stuff that you've missed over the years that you weren't writing about that happened right here in Fayetteville. And it's stuff's, it doesn't happen often, but it's gone over your head or under you. It just, that happens from time to time. And just because...
Whoa. So because I didn't report on it means I missed on it?
Well, I mean, the argument you just made is
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you have your due diligence is if Jeff Thamel says he might be a candidate, then you can say that's what he's saying, but to say, for you to say that he might be a candidate, you don't have any grounds to do that, right?
I think that's true, but did I not say on these airwaves last? Well, you weren't here, so you don't know.
No, but listen to you. Yeah.
Christian, you were here. Did I not always cite the person that said these things about Musk? You were here all week. I felt like I did a good job.
Well, there's
that.
A report out there that there's a flat Earth. Just Google flat Earth. You know, there's flat Earthers.
Hey, listen,
there.
Texas Tech quarterbacks can talk. We can.
I mean, that doesn't make it right.
We can talk
a report.
If y'all want to talk about something else outside of Eric Musselman, that's fine. But it's already blown up our McClarty Daniel hotline. So obviously, people.
Okay, Todd, you tell me. Let's just, instead of saying what's blown up and what's this, do you think he's leaving?
I don't know. Is that the best? Is that a fair answer? Because I, like you said, I am not. I don't have him on speed.
You haven't.
I don't have his agent.
Just say this,
Clay.
Well, I'm not following it.
It's not checking it. It's when you don't have the access to the direct source, you're not going to get it. You just have it. It's an educated guess. Like I don't have Hunter on speed dial. I don't have Eric on speed dial. I don't have these other athletic directors that may or may not have interest on speed dial.
I'm going to give you reporting 101, right?
Okay. Go ahead.
So the best reporters do not ever find out the information that's on their beat. Where they go is they find somebody in the business that is covering the team that you might speculate that he would go to, and that would be, in this case, who? Southern California. So you find somebody in that market, and you call and say, hey, what's going on there? And they'll tell you. And that's generally how all of this breaks.
He kind of did that yesterday, Clay, because he, you know, Ty,
well, that's what he says.
He brought a guest on that covers the SMU beat, and their first in 30 seconds, he said, there's nothing to this.
And I brought the Louisville
Bingo.
Radio host.
That's all you have to do.
And Clay, I also brought the Louisville radio host on last week that didn't, I don't think he said exactly what Billy and Body said on Monday, but he said something kind of similar, paraphrasing that. So I kind of did my due diligence.
So then what you do in that respite is every time it comes up, you say, we checked that from the other end, and there's nothing to it. And you keep doing that. And that's instead of saying, we're not sure, we don't have a source here. Well, that's not what you do.
Okay, so
you go the other end. And so you got to go the other end on the Southern Cal. And the quicker you do it, I mean, if you do it in 3 days, 4 days, well, it doesn't really do your listeners any good. So I'm just telling you the way a reporter works. Now, I'm not on the coach search. That's not been my job. But when I have done it, I've been right more times than wrong. It didn't slip by me. I mean, I'm the guy that reported that Nolan Richardson was going to Arkansas from Tulsa. I'm the guy that reported Nolan Richardson was coming to Tulsa. Yeah, I'm the guy that first reported that Nolan Richardson was going to be fired in 3 days. It happened exactly that way. So when I own a story like that, I've gotten it right.
Well, we'll see what happens with if there's anything that comes out of this. I want to move on because I don't really want to go through a history or teaching lesson.
You want to clean
anymore.
Your shoes off first? Feels like you stepped in it.
Well, we don't mind helping you out, Ty.
Again, you just cited what I did because I'm getting frustrated because I did exactly what you told me to
well,
do.
That's
we had
what
a Louisville guy
said.
On. We had an SMU guy on. And the
said.
Only thing we haven't had on is a USC guy. So I guess I have to have a USC guy on for any credibility whatsoever.
No, that's not. We're not trying to give you credibility. We're just trying to give the information to the listeners. We don't want. And if he says it and it's wrong, well, that's not your fault. But at least you worked to find out. Well, what's going on out there?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me. Let's move. Let's move in this direction because here's the question. I think that really is at the center of this. Is USC an attractive opportunity? You mentioned that the California tie, but you got to go beyond just that's kind of home base for Musselman. Is that an opportunity he would even entertain in your opinion, Clay?
It probably is, but I don't know that he's attractive after a 16-17 season. Is he hireable by Southern Cal based on what happened in this season and what happened in last year's conference season? His attractability decreased this year for a top national job.
I think it's a hard sell for an AD to stand up and, introduce their next head coach that didn't make the tournament and didn't have a winning record in the past season.
But I don't think it's just past year. I mean,
last year's conference season was a losing season in the SEC too.
Yeah, but what do we always talk
about?
But what do we always talk about with college basketball? The NCAA tournament is the only thing that matters. Elite, sweet. Mm-hmm. I know this season stunk.
Yeah.
But
so the problem that you have at USC is that you're competing against who?
Well, it's getting ready to be Ohio State, Michigan.
Well, it's going to always be
the
UCLA.
Entire state,
well,
yeah, beach.
But it's going to be UCLA, and if you're trying to make if you're trying to sell tickets in that city, you also got the Lakers, you also got the Clippers, and
you're like 20th on the list.
So when you make a hire, it better be a splash. It better be a splash. I think that this time last year, Eric Musselman would have been a splash. He's not a splash right now. So I think that's why you're not hearing his name. The second question, and this is the tough one, and this is the one where you can say, I don't know, don't have the sources. What we have to try to figure out is he happy here? Does he want to? Is this is where he wants to stay? He has been unbelievably quiet, right?
Correct.
We haven't heard anything from him saying there is no maybe there's been some intimation. There's nowhere else I would rather be. That's the I can remember every time a job came open, Coach Broyles pulled something from his shirt pocket and basically read it. Every time, same phrase. This is my dream job. It's the only place I want to be. The only place I'm not looking for any place else. And there were a bunch of jobs that he was linked to, and he would defuse it almost immediately. And he suggested always to his coaches when stuff like that was going on, you can always change your mind. But he's not even putting that out there. So that's what leads to the speculation. And then I get it. That you would be talking about that, Ty, for those reasons. But then I go back, the best you can do, you got to chase it down from the other angle because you're not getting anything from this side of it. And you explained that pretty well.
I think with the USC.
Hey, you're not wrong, Ty. Okay. I mean, I do think that it's important when this comes up to say we have checked this from the other end and there's no fire there.
Okay. I think everything you just said in the last 18 minutes or so is accurate, and I'm having to learn on the fly in this situation.
Yeah,
it pisses me to bleep off. But
not easy. Not easy, man.
So name one USC basketball player, Tommy.
On the current roster?
No, name all time.
Well,
Bronny James?
No,
we've got a guy in the community. we got a guy in the community that I know really, really well, that was a great USC basketball player, and he's done well in our community. His name is Ron Way, W-E-Y.
Okay.
He was an executive at Grand Valley Bank. Does that sound right, Tommy?
Grand Valley, that name sounds correct.
Yeah, in Northwest Arkansas, mm-hmm. Rogers. And he, you know, he was really close to John Wooden. He was the guy that enabled Bo to go out and have that big, you know, big feature on John Wooden before he passed. But there's a USC basketball has always been in the shadow of UCLA.
See,
and as the whole nation has been, the whole state of California, but that's the battle that you have. You go there, and it might be a great place to live, might be really expensive, but whatever you do, unless it's better than UCLA, you didn't done anything.
And the football program's the complete opposite. UCLA is always...
It's a football school.
Yeah, and yep. So the reason I bring that up, I can only... outside of the current Bronny James, I can only think of one, and that's O.J. Mayo. That's it. Yeah. There's no basketball history there. None. And all due respect to Mr. Wade, there just is not. When you think about national perspective, but I guess in 2024, the climate's changed, and that's the difference. Maybe that doesn't matter anymore, but there isn't, really, from a national standpoint. Like there, especially is at UCLA, the difference there.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.